When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I'm Victoria Cash. Thanks for calling the Lucky Land Hotline. If you feel like you do the same thing every day, press 1. If you're ready to have some serious fun for the chance to redeem some serious prizes, press 2. We heard you loud and clear. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com right now and play over 100 social casino-style games for free. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi there, welcome to this Ibrox Rangers podcast. My name's Scott Patterson and you join me on our audio channels for the women's update for the month of April. April's been a really busy month, lots going on. We've seen a couple of faces to this Rangers side, I think it's fair to say, in the month of April. And joining me as always to discuss is Claire Gemmell. Hi Claire, how are you?
I'm good, Scott. How are you? Thanks again for having me on.
Yes, no, I'm well. It's been a busy old... April's been a really busy month, showered with some really good moments. I would say probably one moment slap bang in the middle of the month I don't think anyone expected, which we'll come to. And it ended, of course, just the weekend past there with a really, really good afternoon at Hampden, which we'll come to. On this podcast, we'll also look ahead to May, which looks really big and quite exciting, I think, for everyone involved in around the women's outfit. And we'll also speak a little bit about the Player of the Year Awards and the Young Player of the Year Awards nominees that have, of course, been announced this week. Rangers players littered throughout. Let's go back to the first competitive match in April. Claire, Glasgow City come to Broadwood. Big game when Glasgow City come and play against you. It always is. And it often acts as a barometer, I think, as to where you and your team are. I felt for the first half, I felt it was quite eeksy-peeksy, to be honest with you. I didn't think that we were great, if you like, in the first half. Second half, entirely different, of course. Big highlight of that match was, of course, the effort from Lizzie Arnott, which was very similar to the goal she scored at Tynecastle in the cup final last season. It was an accelerator for the performance. We then became quite comfortable. Chelsea and Mia McCauley, again, getting herself on the score sheet and just in the headlines generally. What was your take on that afternoon against Glasgow City?
You know, I would agree with exactly what you said there, Scott, to be honest. I think when the game started, pretty much the first half, there wasn't really much in it between either side. It was as if they were both almost too scared to really come out and play their own game. Nobody really wanted to take the game by the scruff. And it was just it was quite tippy-toey to start with. And I felt, obviously, you know, both scoring, goals in the first half. And then it seemed to be when Lizzie Arnott came on, as you said, and it's a bit of magic, and it's something she practices in training. You know, I'm sure you get folk watching it saying, oh, that's a fluke, it's a fluke. It's absolutely not. She practices it in training, you know, she's got it down to a fine art. And as you said, she's done it on more than one occasion. So I think that's just been... exactly as you said, enough to turn the game in our favour. And then we've not took our foot off the gas at that point. We've kicked on, we've got two late goals. I think we really did deserve to win the game in the end. I think it was a marker for us, you know, going in towards the end of the season, particularly with Celtic at that point breathing down our necks.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, it's almost undone, unfortunately, when we then go into the game against Hearts.
Yeah, I mean, I think we'll come to Hearts game in a second. The thing that surprised me with the Glasgow. I actually felt that, as I thought we started a little bit tepid. I just didn't think there was just something not quite working. I couldn't really decide what it was. I thought Glasgow City had quite a decent foothold in the match. And of course, we get the penalty, which I think, looking back now, it's been a wee while since I've looked at it, but I felt it was soft at the time, but it does give Rachel Rowe going down, gives the referee something to think about. And I think in that case, it's always it's very much a 50-50. 4-1, I think you could argue, even now as we hurtle towards May, that it kind of flattered us a little bit. I did say on the run-up to that match, this game could be a bit of an eliminator. Now, we know that as we get to the end of April, where we are now, there's still a gap. It's not a healthy gap, and it's not insurmountable that Glasgow City could come back into it, but it does look like that kind of gave us a bit more breathing space than what we could probably have hoped for this close to the end of the season.
Yeah, I mean, I think it did. I wouldn't say that game itself was an eliminator, certainly, given, I know you're going to come on to it in a second, but given then what's happened in the Hearts game, it's actually a bit frustrating, I think, you know, watching Rangers sometimes where you feel as if they've really got their foothold in the league, you know, they're in a driving position, then they go into the next game and they just, I don't know, it's as if the performance isn't there. It is quite frustrating. It must be frustrating for Joe Potter at the side, thinking she's rotating her squad, can, you know, and I'm sure she does trust her entire squad, but it's as if the changes, you don't really seem to get the momentum, particularly when we're playing a smaller pitch. We seem to struggle to break teams down. But I think, just going back to your point, I think if they both win, I mean Celtic and Rangers tomorrow night, yes, I think Glasgow City, I can't see them coming back from that at that point. Maybe if it was only one they were chasing, but the fact they're chasing both Celtic Rangers, I can't see them both slipping enough points from it come back and win a league. So yeah, I think if they get beat tomorrow night, it's down to Celtic and Rangers for the league.
Listen, first of May, it's a May day, certainly, indeed, obviously. Celtic play ahead of us before we play at some god unearthly hour at 8:10 tomorrow night at Broadwood, which we'll be at, and we'll be looking forward to that. Listen, we'll go straight to Hearts. Of course, we play Hearts tomorrow night. I don't think, and you kind of alluded it to yourself, that it's hard to understand how they could go from such a big win. Now, we know the performance perhaps wasn't as great as you would like it to be, despite the result being as it was. You would think from that 4-1 victory, it would give them a real kick on, because they know at that point it's momentum, can pull away, can pull away, can pull away, with bigger games to come, as I say, into May. The Hearts game was really quite left-field. I don't think anyone expected us to lose points there at all.
No, probably not. I mean, in all honesty, you expect, as you said, you come off the back of a result like that, that you're absolutely buzzing from it, and you're getting in there and you're finishing teams off. To me, that's the mindset you're going with. Yeah, I know the other team can come out and almost upset that, maybe, but I think in the first half, if they were honest with themselves, the game should have been over. They should have had a few goals to put that game to bed. And see, when that doesn't happen, it just gives the other team more and more confidence. And for me, Hearts were the better team in the second half, because they were first to everything. Rangers looked as if they were trying to walk the ball into the net, you know. And I think this is the thing, and I'm not meaning it as a criticism, but I think what I've found a wee bit frustrating is, yeah, you know, they do have a philosophy, they've got a style, they've got a way they want to play. But see, at that moment in time, when you really do need to win that game, why are we still trying to tweak the same formation or bring in the same folk on? Can we try something different that they're maybe not expecting?
So, and you kind of brought me into something that I was going to bring up for the host of games that come in May, but we'll do it right now. Could rotation be a problem if you boot the rear end out of it? I think there's a good chance, looking at the six games we've got in May, of course, one of them's a cup final. I don't imagine Joe Potter will go with the same team every single week in each of these games. But considering the tickly bit that we're at in the season, it's almost a time to just develop have your 11 and stick with it from here on in. Is that fair?
It can be, but it's difficult. See, when you're playing six games in such a short period of time,
You
almost are forced to rotate in a way, because you do not want injuries, particularly if you're in a big game. So it's about trying to almost manage minutes. What you feel is, you know, they are all important in their own way, but you've got big match players in there, and you absolutely don't want them injured. But I think what seems to have been happening over the last few months is she's trying to rotate at times and it's as if the flow's not there. And then we're having to change it anyway back. But even in games where, you know, you maybe have whatever you would call your starting 11 and the flow's not there, it just seems to be a change of personnel into the same system. You maybe slight tweaks in that system, but it's still based in the same system. And that is how a team's set up to play. And that's more, I think, what I mean. Going into these last six games, we've played all of these teams multiple times. They know what to expect from us. And if the first plan A is not working, do we actually have a different plan B where we can just give them something else to think about and get them finish these teams off?
That's a good point. I think this season, probably because it's Joe Potter's debut season, I think we've got used to noticing that way that they play, that intensity that they play, sort of back three, five, or a four along the centre. Rachel Rowe doing as she pleases and two up top. I think we've got used to that. And I take your point that the Hearts game was maybe an example of why they should have had something up their sleeve just to mix it up a little bit, give them something else to think about. I completely agree with you. Listen, rotation is something we've spoke about there. The month of April saw the return of Rachel McLaughlin, which I think is a big deal going into the last 6 weeks or so of the season. I spoke to Joe post Glasgow City and I asked her about Kirsty McLean and Rachel. It was clear that Rachel wasn't far away as such. Kirsty, of course, we won't see until next season. I think that much is abundantly clear. Rachel returned against Partick Thistle. We won 3-1 at their place. Kirsty Howitt, Sarah Ewins and Rachel Rowe again on the score sheet. I think we had to do that. I think they've had, do you know, and you mentioned about the smaller pitch. Yersel Park, we know, is traditionally a smaller pitch. They didn't have a great time there when they went and drew 0-0 just shortly before the League Cup final. They had to go there and get a result, more so after what had happened at Tynecastle the midweek previous, didn't they?
I think they had to, go and win that game. The thing is they basically can't afford any more slip-ups. I think that's probably the truth of the matter. You know, I think if they're not winning from now on, I think they're going to really struggle to win the league because you're counting in favours from other folk and you don't want to be in that position. But I think it's a massive game that they had to win. And just as you touched on, the introduction of Rachel McLaughlin back into the squad, I think it's absolutely massive. You know, actually in the game, you know, before the Celtic game on Sunday, she was mentioning how big a player she is for her. And I think actually at times she's underrated by folk in terms of, you know, how much an influence she actually has in the team and what she gives you. And I think that her, Hill and Doherty are a much better back three. I just think they're more suited. You know, you've got Cathy Hill certainly more suited, I think, more centrally, which she's back in there now, and Rachel gives you a lot going forward, which I think obviously we're lacking a wee bit with Meadag back in there, who's not a natural centre half. Right. Yeah. I just think they've got a bit more with those three at the back. The only problem is they've obviously not had a lot of games together recently, but they've played together many a times before, so I'm sure it won't have too much of an impact, but I definitely think it's only can be seen as a positive and certainly happening now at this crucial stage of the season.
The thing I really like about Rachel is that she gives you the opportunity to overload the centre of the park as well, because she's comfortable coming forward and she's not scared to put her laces through things as well. So there's none of this, you know, you've spoke earlier about maybe that intensity to walk the ball into the 6-yard box to tap it home. If she sees an opportunity to try and fire one in the top corner, she's going to be the one that's going to have it. So I think she'll give Joe Potter a different dimension to play with between now and the end of the season. Probably the biggest game, if you like, that we had in April is the one that's just passed. And listen, let's be honest, it's great to beat Celtic at any level. If you're playing Celtic at Tiddlywinks, you want to beat them. It's as simple as that. And last weekend was absolutely no different. I would like to have seen Hampden a bit busier for it, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's a shame that you have that kind of tie with so much empty spaces around it. So maybe something for the authorities to think about over the fullness of time. Rangers were really comfortable on the day, weren't they?
They were, and just to touch on what you'd mentioned, Scott, before I comment on the game, but I was disappointed myself because, you know, you're thinking both men's team are playing on the Sunday. You know, it's a perfect opportunity to try and promote the game, to get more folk at the game. It's a massive game. So, yeah, it was a bit disappointing not to see it as busy myself. But, you know, it's one of these things. But I'm sure it was still a great occasion for both teams to play in. But, yeah, I felt as if watching the game that Rangers were comfortable throughout. You know, I think they were maybe unlucky not to create a wee bit more in the first half, if I'm honest. You know, I thought, again, Rachel Rowe influential in the game, picking the ball up, driving it people, and I think Celtic really struggled to deal with her. But what I liked is the fact that, for the most part, you know, we kept the likes of Flint and all their forward players pretty quiet, which, you know, it's not an easy task. So no. I think that was the other side of the game that we actually done well. And then, yeah, we've had to wait quite a while to get our opportunity, but you know what, seeing it's game. And the thing is, we're really not, I don't think, known as a team for being able to out-jump.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously, because they map zonal, it's gave Chelsea the run across the front. And it's a great header. It's actually a great header, you know, to redirect it into the corner. So, and then obviously Kirsty Howe gets a wee bit of luck with Kelly Clark getting caught under the ball, but it's still a great finish, and I'm sure what a moment for both of them to score both goals to take us through into the final.
Do you know that way when you mentioned Chelsea corner, I think she's had a fantastic season. I really do. I think she's had a fantastic season. Does the crappy stuff, does the not so pleasant side of the game just really, really, really well? And I know she missed that. She missed up a sort of chunk of the season through injury. But I do think she's had a fantastic time. But scored two big goals in the month of April. Of course, the opening goal in the semi pass there at the weekend, and she scored in the Glasgow City tie as well. How important do you sort of rate Chelsea in this current squad of Joe Potter Rangers players?
You know, I've spoke about Chelsea on many occasions to you, Scott, and I just think she is. She's a great asset to have in any team, as you say. It's the work that nobody really wants to do. It's the dirty work that she does really well, and it allows the rest of her team to go and play freely, create chances, drive at folk, you know, and she's there to kind of mop up the mess if there is any. But I know when Joe Potter had come into the squad at the start of the season, she was looking for more goals from Chelsea. I think, particularly with the amount of possession that they have in games, all their centre mid should be scoring, you know, a no bad amount of goals. I would say they should all be in double figures anyway, honest. And she obviously did score a few at the start of the season, but I think it's coming on more. And it's in big games too, as you say. It's not just when they're already winning, whatever, 6-0. You know, it's really big goals that she's scoring. So I'm delighted for her. And I think, yeah, she's an absolutely important part of this squad, and she'll not be able to lose her.
No, I completely agree. And you're absolutely right. Scoring in big games, big moments in big games. The first goal in an Old Firm game is critically important when it comes so late on in the game. It's a real test of your mettle to sort of see the game out at that point. Of course, we scored second at the second of the afternoon. Kirsty Howitt, who is quite clearly delighted, as you would be, and we're into that final. So we end April sitting second. With big games to come in May, and I'll run through the fixtures very shortly. We know we have Hearts to come, Celtic to come at home on Bank Holiday Monday. Away to Glasgow City to come as well, Hibs away, and we end the season on the 19th of May in the league with Partick Thistle at our place. Five league games to go, 15 obviously maximum. You're probably right. I think we need to probably win every one of these to win the league come the end of the season, Claire, don't we?
I think so. I just think there's probably a couple of occasions actually where we probably should have been out of sight.
Yeah, 100%.
We've not been, and we've allowed teams back into the league, in my opinion. I think we have allowed teams back into this league. But, you know, sometimes it happens. They're still showing, I suppose, strength of character and stuff to still be up there and then my chance of winning it. But I think, yeah, you need to go out and you need to perform tomorrow night. I remember the last game against Hearts at Broadwood, and it was a bit of a boring game, I would describe it as. You know, not much happening. It was all pretty middle of the pitch. So I can't really remember. I think maybe two or three chances in the whole game between both sides. Yeah. And I think that's including the goal. But obviously Hearts decided to go man for man against Rangers, which, you know, is fine. But I think for them, obviously, it's then what are you doing when you're away from home going forward? So it's what approach you take tomorrow night, but I certainly think the bigger pitch will go in our favour. I don't think anything like the midweek game the other week where we've obviously been beaten 1-0. But I think it's still a job that needs to go out and be put to bed. And then, in my opinion, if we win the Old Firm against Celtic, I think, you know, I know we've still got a big game against Glasgow City, but we've beat them 4-1. Then if you're managing to beat Celtic, you know, you can't be on much more of a high. Surely you can go in and take care of the next Glasgow City game, you know. So that's why I think whoever wins the Old Firm will probably go on to win the league. But obviously, I could be wrong.
Listen, it's a Rangers podcast, so we like speaking about our team. However, we can't not take cognizance of the fact that Celtic are playing Glasgow City tomorrow night. Best result for us is probably a draw, I would say. Could we rely on a favour elsewhere, do you think?
Probably not. I personally think Celtic are finishing the season well. You know, they probably see it that the defeat that they've just had there against Rangers at the weekend, they're probably quite disappointed in themselves because they have been performing pretty well, you know, in the last few weeks. Yeah. So I probably make them favourite against Glasgow City tomorrow night. So really, yeah, I think, but you just don't know. Glasgow City can, you know, they're a good team. It's just, can they? They've lost a big player in Fiona Brown, which doesn't help them, I don't think, either. But yeah, I think probably they're the ones we'd be looking to try and help us out and make it a bit less pressure on us. Because I also think as well, tomorrow night, with them playing first against Glasgow City, if they win, the pressure then feels even more when they're going to game against Hearts, knowing that they were beaten off them just a matter of weeks ago.
Do you think the fact that the Old Firm game is at our place kind of plays into our favour? You've played in these games, so would you rather play them at our place, or would you rather go to their place to play them? Taking into account what we're playing for here and how many games are left after the Old Firm game, we've got another 3 competitive matches after then. One of them is against Glasgow City away from home. The importance of maybe winning that game at Broadwood against Celtic on the 6th of May is really, really big, isn't it?
It is, and you know, you'd always prefer a home game, wouldn't you? Because you're used to the pitch, you're used to the dimensions of the pitch. So everything like that gives you an advantage where you're playing on it a lot more than you would be on a pitch that obviously is not your home ground. So of course it gives you an advantage, and then you're hoping you get maybe more of your supporters along to give you that wee bit, you know, if times are going tough. But ideally as well, yeah, we'd probably like to play Glasgow City at our home ground too, because Peters Hill is a very difficult pitch to go to. I've spoke just earlier on in this podcast about how I don't think Rangers, particularly in the last few months, have dealt well in tight pitches. And I absolutely think that Glasgow City will use that to the advantage. But Rangers just need to think out the box if it's not going their way. They need to adapt their game. It can't be, we're playing up, then we're going wide, then we're crossing into the box. You know, you need to think of something else. And I think that is where the test of character is going to be, because I think they're good enough, but you need to be able to bring it out in the 90 minutes when you're playing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It'll be interesting as well, of course, because Hearts are the second team that got to the Scottish Cup final. So we'll see them on at first hand tomorrow night at Broadwood. So looking forward to seeing that. We'll get an idea of what's to come in May. One of the things that Joe Potter said post-match after Celtic at the weekend really speaks to our attitude, which I really, really like. She was quoted as saying, "We're back in this week to do our work right." And I think we've said before, I like the cut of her jib. I like the way she puts herself across. She's very aware of the work that has still to be done in May. I think she's also aware of the carrots that are potentially there come the end of the month if everything goes according to plan. But from a focus perspective and an attitude perspective, I think we go into May with the right person in charge and the right person to guide us through these matches.
I definitely think she's been great for the club. And, you know, we both spoke before about how important we think she's been. I think she's brought that win mentality. And I do think she's very aware of the fact that, you know, nothing's won yet, and nothing's won until the points say it's won. Yeah. So, you know, she's been a player as well, so she's no silly. She knows exactly what it takes. She's seen it from both sides now. So I think she's been very important. I think she keeps the team grounded. But there's only so much you can do from the sideline. It's really down to the team to go on and perform in the pitch now, getting to these crucial games at the end of the season. You know, a manager can only do so much at this point. What more can she give them in this season to win this league? You know, if the motivation's not there, then, you know, you need to be questioning why you're playing football.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree with you. Listen, the PFA have released the Player of the Year nominees and their Young Player of the Year. Jurrien Backham for Hibs is on there. Amy Gallagher from Celtic's on there. Our own Kirsty McLean and Rachel Rose in there. Young Player of the Year, Ava Easton, Partick Thistle goalkeeper, and Bailey Hutchison from Aberdeen. Kirsty McLean nominated again, and Mia McCauley. There can't really be any debate on either of these for me. I put out on our Twitter during the week that Rachel Rowe is surely Player of the Year and Mia is surely Young Player of the Year. Would you deviate from that at all, Claire?
I wouldn't. And, you know, you look at the list and you can't really argue about a lot of the nominees. I think they've done their bit for their own club, haven't they? I think, it's all worthy nominees. But when I look over the course of the season and I think about how influential Rachel Rowe's been to the squad, just what she's given the squad, I think, you know, just her touch. I've went on about her before, about how good I think she is as a player. And she's scored important goals. So I think, for me, I agree with you. I think she's definitely player of the year for the league. And Mia McCauley, you know, what a season she's had at such a young age. You've got Young Easton, who has had a great season for Partick Thistle as well. She's played, you know, but I think for me, Mia McCauley, hands down, has to win it. And it's not just because she plays for Rangers. If I felt it should be somebody else, I would say that. But I think both stand out for me. I don't think it's close, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, she's had a really incredible, certainly since the, I have to say, since the new year, I think she's been a really important player. For someone so young, and Joe Potter's sort of alluded to this in a sort of post-match pressers and our pre-match pressers, for someone so young, the way she plays, her attitude is, I get the impression Joe Potter really enjoys managing her. I can almost imagine her not wanting to talk her up too much in case people begin to take notice of what she's saying. But I think Mia McCauley's had a fantastic season and I'd be stunned if she doesn't get that Young Player of the Year award. And same goes for Rachel Rowe. I think technically she's the best in the league by quite a distance. And we're at the stage where we're going to the games and we want to see people entertaining. Rachel Rowe absolutely does that. We should add that Joe Potter's been nominated for Manager of the Year alongside Graham Scott from Hibs and Brian McLean from Partick Thistle. Been a good season for Thistle this year as well, Claire. Brian McLean getting them to the final in the League Cup. So I think it's good recognition for these guys as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think Brian Graham's been great for Partick Thistle. What a job I think he's done with that squad. I think he's been great. I think, you know, he's the resources and the money he's probably got access to compared to the rest is not very much. And, you know, he's got them to a final. He's got them comfortably in the top six. Yeah, I think he's done an amazing job. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he won it, depending on what happens the rest of the league. But, you know, if Joe Potter does manage to win a treble, then I don't see how you can take it away from her.
No, absolutely. So that takes me on to my very nicely to my next question. And it'll be the last question I ask you for this April update. You'll be delighted to know. Because when we're back again, it'll be towards the end of May, we'll have had all these five games that we spoke about to come in the month of May gone. We'll have a Scottish Cup final, hopefully gone. Will we be talking about Joe Potter's Rangers treble winners, do you think?
You know, I hope so. If I'm honest, I do hope so. I do think that they've got a great opportunity. It's obviously not in, well, it is in their hands, but it's not at the same time. I think the thing that, you know, is making me nervous when I think about it is how many times they've been in the driving seat and getting it away, you know. So that's what worries you. Then they seem to give themselves a wee kick on again and you think, right, that's them, they're finally taking on, and then something else happens. So, oh man, this league's just been unreal. The same as last year, you know, all the twists and turns. But I really do hope that it will be a treble for her and the squad. I think they've been great, but, you know, they've still got a lot of work to do because there's five very tough games, well, six tough games, if you're including the final, very tough games to go, and they cannot take their eye off of one of them.
Yeah. Do you know, for me, I think clearly a lot will rest on the Old Firm game. That much is clear. I do think that even after the Old Firm game, there could be another twist or turn in there for either side. And as I say, I do worry about us having to go to Glasgow City, to be honest with you, because they'll be really up for it. They'll be disappointed that I don't think they'll be in any sort of race at that point, and we'll not have a lot to play for. It's a disappointing season for them. They'll not want to go down without a whimper, I don't think. So I think there'll be twists and turns for the month of May. It's typical Rangers, it's what we do. And yeah, I don't think May for the women's team will be any different to what it's been maybe April and March. I have to say, I think we'll win the Scottish Cup final at the end of the month, regardless of what happens for the month of May. I think the bigger pitch, I do feel we've got a better quality of player as well. So I think we'll have a better chance of at least getting a double. I would love to be discussing a treble with you here at the end of May, but we shall wait and see. It's very exciting. I'm actually looking forward to May, I have to say. I think there's a lot of football to come, a lot of twists and turns to come, and hopefully a lot of excitement. Fingers crossed.
You've changed your tune, though.
I know.
A couple of months ago, you were all confidence, and now you sound like me.
I'm hoping no one's looking back at any pods we've done previously when I was giving it the Joe Potter flags and all that. You know what I mean? I go back. I think she's been really good this season. Her debut season as a manager has been fantastic. To get her a new contract is really, really exciting. I'm kind of like you, though, Claire. I feel there's been elements of stumbling the last wee while, which is a concern. It's probably a concern more so because our closest rivals don't seem to be stumbling. I know they had the sort of semi-final defeat there just past, but I do worry that they maybe pick up a bit of momentum and form going into May. And ultimately, listen, let's be honest, I definitely don't want it to happen. So I certainly hope that come the end of May, we're sitting as treble winners with any luck.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely with a bit of luck. But, you know, at least at this point, as I was saying, we don't need any favours. It's all down to us. If we win every game, we win the league. So it's still a decent position to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. Claire, it's always good to have you on. I've enjoyed your company again. And we will speak again at the end of May. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott. Good to speak to you.
Don't forget, if you're following us across our social media channels, we're in all the obvious places. You can get us wherever you get your podcast. If you do watch the channel on our YouTube channel, please like and subscribe all the videos you find on there. And Claire and I will be back at the end of May, hopefully to celebrate a treble. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.